Hey, it's Steve Imke. In the fall of 2016, I had an opportunity to spend two nights with a class full of hobbyists that wanted to learn how to take a hobby that they love and turn it into a viable business. During those two nights, I took them on a journey of business entrepreneurship. I'm sorry you didn't make it, and I hope this is the next best thing. Here are excerpts from that live event. Hope you enjoy it. But even more important, I hope it inspires you to get off the couch and do something with it. Thanks for listening. Now we're going to talk a little bit more about traditional business planning. But before I go in there, I want to add another piece in there. And I knew there was one thing I wanted to make a copy of, and I wanted to bring it here to the class, but I couldn't remember what it was. But I'm going to share it with you right now. And that is, with respect to business planning, the original design for business planning, I mean, how this whole thing kind of evolved, because everything that you did was going to be a major front-end loaded project. Whether you were going to open up a small retail store, because that was the only way that you could sell before the internet, going to cost you, you had to buy inventory, you had to buy shelf space, you had to sign a lease, you had to do a lot of things in order to get that done. And that was a huge commitment, a huge financial commitment to make that happen. And in order to do that, we wanted to mitigate all those risks that we possibly could. And the way I like to think about this, I'm going to tell you a sea story. So when I was in the Coast Guard, I was a fire control technician. Anybody know what a fire control technician is? I said, it's nothing to do with putting out fires, by the way. So we had a big gun on the front of our boat. It was a 378-foot cutter, biggest one the Coast Guard had at the time. Had a big 5-inch gun mount on the front, shot a 5-inch round bullet, and would shoot it miles down range. And I had a radar and sat at the top of our ship. And that radar would track, say, an airplane or a surface ship or something like that, and it would tell me exactly what the bearing was and elevation and range of that particular target. I would then take that and I would use that as part of my computation model, and then I would factor in a myriad of other external things that were going on. And so here's a good example. We all know that temperature affects combustion. So the temperature of my powder would determine whether I was actually going to shoot a little bit further or a little bit less. The number of bullets that went through there, each bullet goes through there, creates wear in the barrel. So that was a factor that we had to account for. All right? Obviously the weight of the bullet, because even though when you build a bullet half the size, almost weighs as much as a Volkswagen, a little bit of variation occurs in there. Each one of those changes a little bit. Wind, the wind direction, the wind speed, barometric pressure. All these things are things that I tried to account for, because here's what happens in a gunfire, you know, when it's ship to ship or ship to plane. He who hits the target first survives to another day. If you miss, well, you might not survive. So it's very imperative that you hit it right the first time, kind of like with a business. And so we put in all of this effort to literally try to make sure that first shot was going to hit the target. Now, I'll be honest with you, we never hit the target on the first one. But we got close, okay, because we accounted for a lot of different things to go ahead and make that. That's traditional business planning. We count for all these different pieces that are out there to go off and to make this one shot, because we know we only have one shot, because let's face it, it takes a lot of money to pay for that radar, the computer that I used to keep functioning, as well as all the, you know, the gun and everything else, plus all the people were there for the maintenance stuff, to actually shoot one bullet. And let's face it, when the time I shot that bullet, there was a long time before that bullet hit its target. Right. Maybe a minute as the thing's traveling through space, but it takes a long time to get there. And it shoots like a rainbow, you know, from the time it gets there, okay? So that's the business planning model. Now, I use that example because we used to have gunner's mates on our boat as well. And a gunner's mate would be the guys that would be sitting there on the deck rails, and they would have a 50 caliber machine gun. And they had a little crosshair on the end of their gun, and they would aim at a target, and they would squeeze off a couple bullets, and they would wait for the bullets to hit. And then they would use a little bit of what we used to call Kentucky winded. And the guy would say, oh, it landed over there, so let's point the gun over there. And then the next, they'd shoot another burst for effect to try to hit the target. They used cheap bullets, lots of experiments, and it was really close range kind of a thing. There was a little bit of time between shooting and hitting the target. And that's where we're really kind of getting business model. It's a fire control solution. what there are other options for doing the 50 caliber piece. So one of the things I like to share, one of my mentors was a guy by the name of Ron Munz. So Ron Munz had a company here in town, and his original situation, and this is I always try to tell this to people who are starting up, he didn't pay anything to really start this business. So what he did is he was a programmer, and he said to a company came to him and said, I would like to hire you to develop a piece of software that I can put in the serial number of my computer, and it will track this asset through its life. And when I say that, I mean there's the serial number of the main thing, the monitor, the motherboard, all the kind of things that kind of go through there. And so that I know where all these pieces are so I can track these assets. But more importantly, over time, I want to see if one is a little bit better than the other. So each time has a failure, I want to be able to say I had to replace that. So now I could look at this data pool to go do this. Well, rather than, so this was a work for hire kind of a scenario, right? So he said, okay, but if I work for hire, then you own it. So let me do something different. So he went and he put out like a solicitation and got two other companies who wanted a similar product, overlaid all of their specifications and said, I will build you this whole thing for one third of the cost for each one of you. So now all three of those paid for the development of this. He says, but at the end of the day, I own the source code for it. You get it. Instead of you paying me $100,000, you're only paying me $33,000 for it. But for that $33,000, I get to own it and package it up and sell it to somebody else. So guess what he just did? He used the customer to finance his business model. That is different here. That's the 50 caliber version versus my 5-inch gun mount kind of a thing. Does that make sense to you? More importantly, he created a strategic partnership with them. They reviewed it. They did all these kind of things. So that's what we're talking about. There's ways that we as business people these days don't necessarily have to anticipate the future so that we can align everything so that by the time our bullet gets there that we're in the right position. We would rather shoot very short that bursts at very small pieces to actually use it and have the customer ultimately be involved as a partner and build that as we go there. Far better than trying to fund your business to kind of go out there. And it's more appropriate, especially for small businesses. If you're a big company, Microsoft isn't going to go that way, that route to their customers. Does that make sense? So when I talk about business planning, I'm simply saying that when we have to predict the future and we've got a lot of expenses, this is the way to do it. And it would be almost malpractice on my part to say, listen, I'm not going to cover that. So I want to talk about it. But so this is Steve-ism. Don't mind me, my peers don't necessarily agree with me, but I think you'll see why and you'll see how this kind of unfolded. You do the financial plan first. Because remember how we did the thing first? We talked about, do I have the startup? I have Seth Godin calls the dip, which is that cash flow piece in the bottom until we get profitable right there. And of course, if you're a small business, you want a small dip close. If you're a big company, you can afford a dip that goes out several years, but you can't afford that. So you want to shorten up that dip. But if you can't fund it, then stop. Right? The next one is the marketing plan. Because the market isn't big enough for the needs of sales that you have, well then stop it there. Remember the go, no-go decisions. And now we're going to actually get to the operations plan. So we've kind of begun the process of the business planning thing, but we've talked about various alternatives to it. But I needed you to understand the concepts of that to kind of move forward. So if we do that, we talk about the financial plan. We've already talked about many of these components. We've talked about the cash flow requirements, the 12-month cash flow, the startup cash requirements, and what we call the break-even. Remember, we went over that the other day. Now, there's other things that are going to be part of your business plan. Profit and loss. Balance sheets. What's a balance sheet? Now, assets and liabilities. If you're starting a new business, do you have any assets? No. You have any liabilities? Because the bank hasn't given you a loan yet, right? Or whatever the case is, so you don't have any debt. So at the end of the day, you don't really have one. Because why do banks want business plans? Because they assume what? You're in business for 10 years. And you got 250 employees, and you got stellar credit. So that's their assumption when they're thinking about talking to you. Small business isn't a startup business, okay? So we just had to be real clear here. So when you look at business planning software and all this other kind of stuff, you're going to spend all this time doing balance sheets and income statements. You don't even have that data yet. By the way, an income statement is revenue and expenses, and you minus the two of those, and you get profit. That's a tax document, by the way, because you get to take your assets, and you get to depreciate them over a period of time. You don't get the expenses. So your cash flow, which is the thing that I say you need, is if I got to pay payments on a truck payments, for example, for a fleet vehicle, I better know what those payments are. I don't really care that I have a I bought a $50,000 truck when I'm depreciating that over 5 years, and in year two, I get a $10,000 depreciation of that vehicle. In year one, I just put $50,000 worth of cash out if I bought it with cash. You see what I'm saying? Big, big difference, okay? Quite frankly, the P&L, or income statement, is really your tax document that your CPA then uses to determine what your taxes are going to be. And then we talked about the balance sheet. The bank wants your balance sheet because it wants to know how much equity you have so that you can pledge that as additional collateral to go in there, because they want everything to be collateralized.
Thank you for listening to How to Turn My Hobby into a Full-Fledged Business. To learn more about Steve Emke, or to learn more about what it takes to own and operate a small business, please visit stevebizblog.com. That's stevebizblog.com. Or look for Steve's many books on various aspects of small business ownership at amazon.com or at stevebizblog.com.